This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. A few weeks ago on this show, we talked about the gender wage gap. You probably know the math. For every dollar that U.S. men make, on average, women make about 80 cents, according to the U.S. Labor Department. And when you take race into account, the gap widens. Latinas make 54 cents for every dollar white men make. Black women make 63 cents. And you often hear about this from a woman's perspective. But we wanted to turn that around and look with a corporate view. 4 years ago, The Gap, you know, the big clothing company, became the first Fortune 500 company to announce that it pays men and women equally, on average, across their workforce. And they brought in Kelly McElhaney to take a look. She's a professor at UC Berkeley and has worked with lots of companies like Levi's and NVIDIA on pay equity. Welcome.
Thank you, Lizzie. I'm happy to be here.
Let's start with one company you did research on, and that is The Gap. They have about 135,000 employees globally. What did they come to you asking?
They came to me and asked if I would bring in a research team to study the culture of Gap, to understand how did this happen? What were the drivers of the 0% pay gap? The first thing we found, Lizzie, that females in general at Gap, when they sat down at the negotiations table, just weren't as good as some of the males who sat down at the table. They said, you know, why don't you go back to your desk and let's retry this negotiation tomorrow, which is obviously an indication that the person needs to work on their negotiation style, but it allows them to actually come back and try again.
So you have a couple of different factors, I should say five, that tend to affect the way pay is handed out. And some of them make a lot of sense. You know, the one we hear about a lot, unpaid care, work-life balance, something that women take on a lot. But there are others that kind of subtly start to affect who gets paid what. Can you walk me through that a bit?
If you think about pay equity, it is generally an outcome of a completely different phenomenon, which is focusing on unconscious bias. Women tend to get penalized when they negotiate very aggressively, very hard, whereas a male is seen as, that's great, he's masculine, he's strong, he'll come to this company and negotiate with vendors, with service providers, whereas women are seen as, she's a little bit selfish.
Well, yeah, sometimes people don't like to look under the hood, particularly in things where maybe they think, no, our company's doing a good job. So if you're a CEO or if you're an HR executive listening to this, what do you do and how do you move to police yourself?
Well, the first is to collect the data, see where you are. The gaps generally aren't consistent across the company, so they'll be higher in some areas, lesser in some other job functions. They might be higher in some geographic regions. But what moves people is when I am able to collect anonymized stories from females who have experienced bias, it really wakes CEOs up to say, I need to do something here, and it can't happen overnight. It is a really complex process.
You know, this isn't obviously just about salaries, which is often the thing that's talked about the most. Can you sort of help us understand how this widens out a bit?
Well, it's a couple factors. And one thing I want to very much say and reiterate, we have made this a white individual phenomenon. And if you look at Latina, who have the highest gap, they're in the mid-50-cent range. When you talk about African-American women, they're in the mid-60-cent range. That needs to be a part of this collective conversation. Annual salary is one metric of pay, but let's look at the bonuses. Let's look at stock options. Let's look at equity on cap tables for startups. And a lot of pay inequity is buried there. It's not being captured in pay data.
A company that's doing this right, like Gap, what are they collecting to make sure they're doing it?
Well, they went back and did a 10-year look. So doing a one-year snapshot, great data, not very effective. So they went back 10 years. When we did the Gap study, I'll never forget walking into Art Peck's office, talking about the research. And I said, you know, Art, what was so interesting to me is that really what's happening inside of Gap is you have a lot of processes whereby you're reducing unconscious bias. Pay is the outcome. And Art just looked at me and said, congratulations, professor. I was waiting for you to come around. I loved that he said that because he's the CEO and he really understands the complexities in this space.
Okay. So bottom line, you know, what's the incentive? Companies are there to make money. What's the incentive for them to close the pay gap?
not showing up again on the front page of the New York Times or in a in a podcast or a news story on NPR, not showing up in Lizzie O'Leary's show, getting ahead of it, understanding that their competitors are doing this, that folks who purchase their services are doing this. You don't want to make a decision to not spend money in the present if in the future the problem comes out and you end up having to spend a lot of money to both go back and collect the data to try to retrofit a pay gap if you find one and to protect your brand.
Kelly McElhaney, Director of the Center for Gender Equity and Leadership at UC Berkeley. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lizzie.
If equal pay is an outcome of workplace policies, what needs to happen where you work in order to get there? Or does your company pay men and women equally? Let us know. You can send us an email. We're weekend@marketplace.org.